morning, everyone.
Please turn in your hymn books to number 41, Come Thou Almighty King. Please stand.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Service this morning is coming to you from Zion Mennonite Church, located at the corner of Cheadle and 6th Avenue Northeast and Swift Current. At the present time, we are meeting under the COVID-19 guidelines. Our worship leader for this morning is Joy Jarrett. Marcy McLean is the song leader. Grace Funk is the organist. And Marion Duick is the pianist. Later on in the service, Lois Bukar will be bringing us the sermon. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless you as you worship together with us.
So I don't think that any of you need a reminder today that it is Thanksgiving Sunday. So historically, we've had hundreds of years of celebrating Thanksgiving, and it's been a national holiday for a very long time. And as the church, we use this Thanksgiving Sunday as a special time of gratitude to God. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on changes, to remember that we too grow and change from one season of life to another. Thankful people choose to be thankful. Thankfulness is a chosen path, but sometimes not an easy one. Thankful people do not have perfect lives. They still get traffic tickets. They still have to deal with the neighbor's barking dog. They still have to work with varying personalities of their families and in their workplace. They still get too much or too little rain on their crops. But they take a different approach in the middle of life not being quite ideal. Thankful people choose to look at life differently. Thankfulness walks beside us while we go through whatever life brings to us. As we see the beauty of this season of autumn, let us acknowledge the many blessings that we have, the many reasons to voice our thanks. Welcome to each of you here this morning, those of you who regularly attend here, those of you who are visiting family this weekend, young and old, as we join together in worship today, may something that you hear this morning give you hope or give you an idea to move you forward or perhaps put you on a chosen path of gratitude. Let us worship together. All right, I would invite you to take a look at your bulletin again on the other side, back to the call to worship. And most of this is taken from Psalm 100 because it's the most thankful psalm that I could, to me this is the most thankful psalm. Anyways, we'll read it as printed and I would invite you to read the dark print. God rebuilds the people of earth. The wandering ones are gathered together. The brokenhearted are healed. The hungry are fed. The prisoners are freed, the blind are given sight, the lonely are befriended. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Please join me in prayer. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food of this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family and friends without which there would be no life. We thank you for the mystery of creation, for the beauty that our eye can see, for the sound that our ears can hear, for everything around us that fills us with wonder. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture what we become, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us, for people from different parts of this world who challenge us and invite us to grow in our understanding. We thank you for children who lighten our moments with delight and who offer hope for the future. We thank you for this day and one more day to work for justice and peace in this world. We thank you for your grace, for your promise to be with us, to be our God. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks. Amen.
We'll now turn to hymn number 94, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Please stand, number 94 in your hymn books. Let us join together and sing number 98, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. We will omit verse 3.
In following the COVID-19 guidelines, we don't pass the offering plates around at this point, but rather allow people to drop their offerings off at the offering plate at the back of the church. So at this time, while the offertory music is being played, we invite you to prepare your offering and to send it to your church, or you may want to drop it off, or another option would be to e-transfer it.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, you call us to let go of the things we cling to and to step out in faith, trusting in your love and provision. Give us courage to step out boldly and to plant our small seeds generously and without fear. Use our gifts to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine. Bless each offering given this morning, joined together to be our collective offering. May we give of our abundance with thankful hearts. In your name, together we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I would invite you to turn in your bulletins. There's a separate sheet in there, and it contains a litany of thanksgiving. So we will be, I'll just give you some instructions with that. So the in the dark print, I would invite you to say that as a congregation. Matt and I will respond with the litany. I've printed it out because sometimes it's just good to read it as well. I will invite you, if you choose, to say, "We thank you, God." If you choose not to do that, that's just fine. You're invited to join us in that. We'll start. Give thanks
to the Lord, who is good. God's love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God joyfully. Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
For the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors, we thank you, God.
For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until our dying, we thank you, God.
For work to do and strength to work, for the comradeship of labor, for exchanges of good humor and encouragement, we thank you, God.
For family, for living together and eating together, playing together, working together, we thank you, God.
For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies, we thank you, God.
For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, for their search for freedom, for moving forward, we thank you, God.
For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest in leisure and growing understanding that time is precious, we thank you, God.
For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger,
we thank you, God. For this church and all who have chosen to walk this path together, we thank you, God.
For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prompts our grateful worship,
we thank you, God. For the example of living and being shown to us through the life of Jesus, we thank you, God.
We thank and praise you, eternal God, for all your goodness to us. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good. God's love is everlasting. Come, let us praise God joyfully. Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Joy, for that litany. And many of us will now say, well, that really covered all the bases, didn't it? Now we don't really have anything left to pray for. We've prayed for everything and given thanks for it all. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have called us your own, that you gather us close to yourself, that you don't hold us distant or look at us and say you are not performing well. You draw us closer and closer. You yearn for us more than we ever desire you. And it's only our sin and our selfish nature that draws us away. We convince ourselves that other things are more pleasurable. We ask for your forgiveness when we draw away from you. And we invite you by your Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us, to call out to us, and to teach us wisdom and insight. Help us to understand
this life that we live, even when so much of it does not seem to be understandable. And we want to give thanks for so many different things, and at the very same moment that we want to give thanks, we're reminded of so many other people who are not experiencing life the way we are. And it pulls us back. We don't want to express it because we feel guilty or confused. Why are we blessed in this way? But one thing we do know, that you are the God of all goodness, that all good things come from you, and we are thankful, and we insist on giving thanks. You have granted us life, and we give you thanks for this. You've granted us this wonderful, bounteous crop, which makes us shake our heads in wonder. How can this be? We thank you for journey's mercies, when so often we even forget to mention it. We thank you for the peace that we experience here. Not just a lack of war, but a deep sense of peace and well-being and tranquility. And we expect that tomorrow will be the same, and the day after and the day after. And we thank you for this, because it is not our doing. We are human, and we know what our human nature would do. We pray for our leaders, and we continue to pray for our elections and the elections in other countries as well, that those who are allowed to have the positions of authority would be guided by good principles, because we want to continue to live in peace and dignity. So we pray that you would enrich and strengthen your church, and especially Eigenheim Mennonite Church. And we pray for St. Stephen's Anglican Church, that we, your church, would follow your lead in reaching out, in helping, in loving, that we would demonstrate who you are in who we are. And we pray for Camp Elam and all of those involved year-round, working so hard. And we pray for the board and the directors. We pray for your guidance, your wisdom, and your assurance that even when we need to take steps that are uncomfortable, that we are doing them because we are following your guidance, not arbitrary, not personal, but always looking to you, because this is your mission. And in the midst of all of this, we turn back to words that are so comforting, that we have prayed so many years before, and we pray again together, along with all of your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please turn in your hymn books to number 406. This hymn is not as familiar as some, so I'm going to let you just remain seated, and Marion is going to play it over once for you. The hymn, "And is the Gospel Peace and Love, Such Let Our Conversation Be," number 406.
Thank you.
The scripture passage this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 9. I'll be reading from the Living Bible. Dear brother Christians, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord. And now I want to plead with those two dear women, Euodias and Syntyche. Please, please, with the Lord's help, quarrel no more. Be friends again. And ask you, my true teammates, to help these women, for they have worked side by side with me in telling the good news to others. And they have worked with Clement, too, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, my brothers, as I close this letter, let me say one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about what is pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine and good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice what you have learned from me and saw me doing, and the peace of God will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to the service of Thanksgiving for the year 2020. We are worshiping together at Zion Mennonite Church, and many of you are joining us in your own homes or the homes of your friends or family or in various locations. Some people are listening to the radio service, could be in the car. Wherever you are warmly welcomed. And this Thanksgiving Sunday is very unique, as I think we will all testify to the fact that you turn the calendar and you see there's Thanksgiving in October. This is the season for Thanksgiving. The harvest has come in, the gardens have been cleaned, the year is slowly turning into towards its tail end. But in addition to this season of Thanksgiving, we're also obviously in the season of COVID. And we want to recognize that and bring the two of those things together, not pretending that one or the other does not exist, and not pretending that one or the other should have first billing. We'll look at both of them and see how they work together. With that in mind, we'll look at Thanksgiving as best practice. Some of the phrases and ideas that I'm going to use today are directly linked to language that we have been hearing for the last 6 or 7 months. But I hope that today will be infused with a spiritual meaning. Because that's our desire, when not only at Thanksgiving, but anytime we come to church and we hear the scripture being read, we listen to the words of the message, we want it to impact our lives, to actually give us insight as we're living our lives, not that we put one aside, close the door of our lives, and then spend the rest of the time in church. And once church is over, close the church door and go back into our real lives. That's not it at all. We come to give insight. So we look through the lens of Scripture and what God testifies to help us to make sense of our daily lives. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought to myself, if I am going to be discussing best practice, I should know what it is. And I looked it up, and some very useful phrases about best practice. Best practice is method or technique that has been generally accepted as superior to any alternatives. Best practices are used to maintain quality as an alternative to mandatory legislated standards and can be based on self-assessment or benchmarking. They represent the most efficient or prudent course of action. Best practices are the recommended course of action. So we know what we're talking about when we're talking about COVID best practices. Might as well name them. Wash your hands, distance, and mask. Avoid large gatherings. But even in the middle of these best practices and these very simple habits that many of us have had long ago, we were taught to wash our hands when we were kids. Yet if we step back and look at this larger pandemic worldwide affecting not only our small community, but the worldwide community, people all around the world are suffering, and many are suffering much more than even we ourselves. And we could be tempted to ask the big questions, like why? Another big question, God, are you here? And a third one, what does this suffering mean? We may have been asking any one of those or a number of those or other kinds of questions. And we invite you to carry those questions as we approach this time of Thanksgiving. Bring your question. Bring your wondering. The first thing that we want to do as we consider Thanksgiving as a best practice, we start with our fact checking. That's the first thing that we always need to do. Make sure that we know the facts, that we're listening to the proper authorities, that we are not just basing our actions or responses on feelings or on reactions. So for our fact checking, to see if Thanksgiving is actually a good practice, well, we ask, is the Bible your authority? Is the Word of God actually our authority in our life? Do we think that following that will actually give us fullness of life? That's a broader question. For the moment and for our practice here, we assume yes. That's the best place to go to. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4. And the facts of this case sort of begin in chapter 3, verse 20. Paul reminds us, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it's from there that we're expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're going to be transformed into a different body altogether. So we have to step back out of our current situation or circumstances, recognize this is a larger fact. And then Paul says, therefore, Because of those facts, my brothers and sisters, stand firm in this way. This is how we can stand firm, because our citizenship is elsewhere. We can stand firm even in this time of changing circumstances, understandings, situations. Stand firm in this way. And then he goes on to describe, what is the way in which we can stand firm? By rejoicing in the Lord. Showing gentleness to everyone. Not worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So don't worry about things. Don't just let your mind go around and around and around. Rather, bring it in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. We present our needs before God. Now, this fact and this best practice is not like a yearly vaccine. You might think, oh, October, okay, it's time to be thankful. Calendar says so. And immediately thereafter, we go and live our own lives without any reference to the things that God has done for us, without any idea of giving thanks. I've already done it. If I go and I get my flu shot, I don't go the next day and get another one and another one. This is not like that vaccine. This is like a mask. It's daily. It's reusable. There's wide variety to it. Everybody has a different preference for what their mask looks like. You can have ones with really long elastics so they don't hurt your ears. You can get the kind that tie on the top. You can get the kind that have a button around the back of your head. Oh, there's the see-through ones. You can see your mouth moving. As many masks as there are, that is a tip of the iceberg of what Thanksgiving can look like. Constant, keep putting it on, putting it on, putting it on. It's simply the best practice. Does it cure all? No. Are you still struggling? Perhaps. However, it is the best practice based on the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. That's where God is. And God says, bring everything to me. Don't worry about anything. Bring it all to me. Let's talk it over. I'm here to listen with thanksgiving. Best practice. So if we've done our fact checking, then we can move on to what is suggested. I say that word with emphasis because masks are not mandatory. Everybody heaves a big sigh of relief. It's not mandatory. In fact, it's not mandatory that you wash your hands or that you distance or that you put on a mask. None of that is mandatory, but it's our choice. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. And there, it doesn't say masking, but it says clothe yourselves. In Colossians 3, in verse 12 and verse 14, it says clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. And be thankful. So clothe yourselves or mask yourselves, if you would like to. Clothe yourselves in this mask of thankfulness. And whatever you do, verse 17, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Whatever you do. So we're doing other things. Just like when you're wearing your mask, that's not the only thing you do. You go about your daily routine. You can sing, you can pray, you can grumble. You can do all sorts of things with your mask on. The mask is not a cure, no. Does it fix all? No. Does it help? Yes. It does. It helps you and it helps your neighbor. When you are masked in thankfulness, when you put on that mask of thankfulness, you are actually helping yourself. You are keeping yourself from greed, from desiring more and more that you don't need. You are protecting and loving your neighbor from your own propensity to be jealous or desire the things that your neighbor has, the house, the car, the spouse, the job. This thankfulness, this mask of thankfulness, helps you to love your neighbor. It protects yourself and your neighbor. So because it's a choice, we have to also consider what happens if I don't. If you want to look at the very first Thanksgiving on record, go back to Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, there are two Thanksgiving offerings. And it just came about. These two brothers just decided they are going to bring the first of their produce before God. Interesting little sidebar in verse 1, Genesis 4, verse 1, Eve produced Cain. So she had her own produce, but that's at the side. We're looking at the two brothers who had different kinds of produce, and they each brought their offerings. And one was accepted and the other was not. Cain's was not. And Cain's countenance fell. And God spoke to him. He said, come on, let's reason this out. Talk to me. Bring it to me. And he said, you can do well if you want to change something. Alter your thanksgiving. If you don't, sin is standing at the door and it desires you. It wants to grab a hold of you. Well, where is the sin? We're not quite sure. It's like the invisible virus. We're not quite sure where it is. It's lurking somewhere. Sin is at the door and it wants you, but you must master it. Master it with good practices. As we have seen, well, some of us have seen, Cain decided he did not want to master it. In fact, it mastered him. His anger took over. But we know anger is a secondary emotion. And if you'd like, you can look up the anger iceberg. Anger is just the tip, and it hides beneath the surface so many other emotions and reactions and feelings that haven't been dealt with, that need attention. So this anger of Cain's was just the tip of the iceberg. And perhaps that's something we need to be asking ourselves. Is something lurking in the background, undealt with, that's causing more turmoil in me? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, Peter is writing to the brothers and sisters, and he reminds them all of your brothers and sisters around the world, they are also suffering at this time. You're not in this alone. We are all suffering together, and we all have to decide how we are going to face it. What are we basing our facts on, our responses on? How are we doing our fact-checking? And since this is not mandatory, it's not obligatory to be thankful. It's a suggestion. Go ahead, clothe yourselves in this. Well, what good will it do? The good it will do, found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which is beyond understanding, it's worth more than simple understanding. The peace of God surpasses understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It guards your heart and your mind. In this time, we're always looking for what will keep us safe, what will help. For the best practices, not worrying, not anxious being, but with thanksgiving, presenting ourselves, our prayers, our supplication before God. Amen.
Thank you, Lois. Hymn number 118, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Please bow for the benediction. Now may God fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please turn to your green hymn books and we will sing number 78.